أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه ومن والاه. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. اللهم لا تكلني إلى نفسي طرفة عين ولا أقل من ذلك. اللهم افتح بيني وبين الحاضرين بالحق وأنت خير الفاتحين. Respected brothers and elders, fathers and mothers, respected youngsters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. All thanks and praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our creator, our nourisher, and our sustainer. And we send our choicest blessings and salutations upon our beloved Prophet Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family, his friends, and those who follow his guidelines until the day of judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses us in the Quran in Surah Al-Anfal, and Allah says to us, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, respond to the call of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when they call you to that which will give you life. Now, this ayah has got a number of interesting perspectives. One is that Allah ta'ala says, if you respond to Allah and His Rasul, then you will become alive. Now the question here is, aren't we alive already? Are we not breathing and walking and doing what we do as human beings, as living human beings? But yet Allah Ta'ala says, if you respond to the commands of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then certainly that will give you life. It means a life of fulfillment, a life of contentment, a life of awareness and consciousness. That can only be obtained the moment that we respond to the call of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In other words, we may be physically alive, we may be living, we may be breathing, but that does not mean in the sight of Allah that we are alive. Because life is not only that which revolves around the physical, but also the spiritual. There's another verse in the Quran which is very similar to this, Surah An-Nahl, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٍ فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً. Whoever does good deeds, whether they be male or female, and they truly believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah says, we will afford them a life that is حَيَاةً طَيِّبَةً. We will give them a life of fulfillment, a wholesome and holistic life that they are able to find contentment within that life in the way that they seek for in this dunya. Now, just to maybe relate to an incident that happened in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that shows how important the mission of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam truly was, so that we can also begin to appreciate being the followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, being of his ummah. It's an incident that is narrated by Abu Hurairah. He says, there's a man from amongst the Bedouins that came to the Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam. And as the Bedouins normally were, they were very abrupt. They were very short-tempered. They didn't really have a nice way of speaking always. So this person came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam, and he demanded certain things for his family and for his tribe. Maybe they struggled, they needed some help. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam gave him whatever he could find at that time. And he asked this person, هَلْ أَحْسَنْتُ إِلَيْكَ? Are you happy? Did I do good to you? And to everybody's surprise, this person said, وَاللَّهِ مَا أَحْسَنْتَ وَمَا أَجْمَلْتَ. You did not do anything good, and there was nothing beautiful in this gesture that you offered to me. Of course, this was quite insulting, and the Sahaba were ready to attack this person. They were ready to get hold of him and to give him a beating, because how can you speak like this to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? But the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the gentle soul that he was, he said to them, leave him alone, let me deal with him. And the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam took him by the hand and said to him, come with to my home, maybe I will find some more things for you and your family. And this is what they did. And after the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave him some extra things for his family and his tribe, he asked him the question again. He asked him, Hal ahsantu ilayk? Did I do good to you now? And he says to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Naam. Ahsanta wa ajmalt. Jazakallahu an ahlin wa ashirin khayra. May Allah ta'ala reward you, he says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, on behalf of myself and my family and my tribe, because you've really done your best what you could have done. But here comes the important part. The Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam then says to him, I just have one small request from you. Would you come with me just so that you can proclaim this what you proclaimed in front of me now? Can you do the same in front of the companions? The reason for this is at the moment they have a very bad opinion about you. And I wouldn't like them to have this opinion about you. So would you agree to come with me and just to repeat in front of them so that all of them can see that we've reconciled and you are. And when he left, the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam then explained to him, to them. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam said to them, the example of this person is like the owner of a camel. That camel sometimes can go loose and it may become wild if its owner is not around. And the more strangers try to calm down this camel, it will become even more wild. Until its owner comes and the owner takes out some food and lures this camel towards himself, and the camel calms down and is able to continue his life as normal. He says the example of this is exactly what happened here with this man today. He's in a certain state because of his condition, where he comes from, etc. But if I had to allow you to assault him at the time when he insulted me, and if I did not take him by the hand, and if I did not show him what Islam truly stands for, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if that had to happen, لَدَخَلَ النَّارِ, then this person would have entered into the fire of Jahannam. So actually, what the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was trying to teach here was that he saved this person through the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is our role that we need to play as Muslims. We need to take people by the hand and show them the beauty of Islam. We need to project the right image, what Muslims and Islam is all about. Because we all know there is enough propaganda out there. There's enough people that have distorted the image of Islam. There's enough examples of how people had done certain things in the name of Islam. If one wanted to summarize, what was the mission all about? In a well-known hadith where he says, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. In another version, لِأُتَمِّمَ صَالِحَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. In another version, لِأُتَمِّمَ حُسْنَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. And all three versions basically mean the same thing. It's just a different choice of words. But it means that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he explains to us, I was not sent except as the one that came to perfect human character. My mission was to come and teach you how to interact with Allah, how to interact with your fellow human beings. This was the ultimate mission of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But before I go into just some ahadith pertaining to this mission and pertaining to this main feature of the mission, I just want to go back to the verse that I quoted right at the beginning, because it's another interesting feature about this verse which I want to quickly bring out, because it's important. If we look at the construction of this ayah, Allah Ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, istajibu lillahi wa lirrasul, answer the call of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, idha da'akum lima yuhikum. Now here is the word choice is kind of interesting. Idha da'akum, it says if He calls you to that which will give you life. Actually, logically, if you think about it, it should have been if Allah and His Rasul calls you, isn't it? Because the ayah says, respond to the call of Allah and His Rasul. So linguistically, it should have been in the dual form. It should have been إِذَا دَعَوَاكُمْ. If the two of them are calling you towards that which will give you life. But yet Allah uses the singular form. And there were some Orientalists that tried to problematize some verses of the Quran. They tried to prove that the Quran is inconsistent as far as the Arabic language and the Arabic grammar is concerned. And there's a number of verses that they selected to prove this. And this was one of the verses, because actually it should have been when the two of them call you to that which will give you life. So why is it singular? Why isn't it in the dual form? As the scholars of tafsir explained to us, the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places it in the singular, it's to indicate that whatever Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calls you to, it is exactly the same as that which Allah calls you to. He makes it singular because it refers to the nearest word. The word should be if He calls you. So it's referring to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so the indication here is when He calls you to something, it is similar to Allah calling you to something. In other words, we should not fall victim to this fitna that had existed since the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it actually continues right up until today. What is that fitna? Is that fitna that says that why do we have to follow the hadith and the sunnah if we have the Quran in front of us? What would be the function of the hadith while we have the book of Allah? And this is something that happened, as I said, even in the time of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he warned about it. It happened in the time of Imam Shafi'i, he warned against it. And it continues in every era. You will find that there are people that try to confuse us as Muslims, and they say to us, why do you want to follow the hadith and the sunnah and all of that? As long as you have the book of Allah or the Quran, that should be sufficient to you. This ayah and many other verses actually indicate that the moment that you are following our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are following none other than Allah. So we should not be confused as Muslims. There's many verses in the Quran where Allah Ta'ala says, "May yuti'i ar-rasula faqad ata'a Allah." The one who obeys the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had indeed obeyed Allah. There's no difference between the two. One should not say, no, one is Quran, one is hadith, so follow the one and not the other. And I often say to people who have this kind of thinking, it says, why do we need the hadith and sunnah? We can just stick to the Quran. The simple logical reply that we give to somebody like that is to say to them, if you claim that we should only follow the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, show, or rather we should only follow the Quran and not the hadith, show me one ayah in the Quran that gives us any detail about how salah must be performed. Is there any ayah in the Quran that you can come up with that tells us how many raka'ahs we must make for Fajr and for Dhuhr and for Asr and for Maghrib? There's no such ayah in the whole Quran. Is there any verse in the Quran that tells us what are the conditions of salah, what are the prerequisites, what are the things that nullifies the salah, what are the things that are sunnah and makruh and so on? We find none of those details in the Quran. Ask that person that says we must only stick to the Quran and leave the sunnah. Do we find any verse in the Quran? Now we know the Quran speaks about salah and zakah. وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ. All of us know that the percentage of zakah that we give is 2.5%. We all know that. Is there any verse in the Quran that specifies it to be 2.5%? The answer is no. There is no detail of that in the Quran. So the only alternative that we have in order to get those details is to turn back to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if those people come up and they say, yes, but we hear so much about ahadith that are strong and authentic and others that are weak and others that are fabricated, we are so confused about it, so shouldn't we just leave it off if all those doubt is there and just follow the Quran? We say to them, no. The hadith, although there are categories, and yes, there have been people that have fabricated and forged certain ahadith in various eras of Islam, and they try to distort the image of Islam by making up certain sayings and attribute it to the Prophet ﷺ. But thankfully for all of us, we had had ulama and scholars, which Allah Ta'ala had sent in every era, that came to clarify and came to protect and preserve the authentic ahadith of Rasulullah ﷺ, and came to explain to us what should be followed as ahadith and what should be left out, what are truly the statements that can be attributed to the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and what are the statements that should be discarded or should not be used because they are fabrications. So we don't have to worry about this issue. It is done and dusted. We have ulama that have done sterling work. The likes of Imam al-Bukhari, Imam Muslim, Imam al-Tirmidhi, giants of scholars, which Allah Ta'ala sent in those early periods to authenticate it to be the words of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that fear or that worry that there is doubt in the sunnah should never be entertained in our minds at all. Coming back to the issue that I thought I'd want to share with you today, The main mission of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as I say, hadith, but I've just chosen maybe five of them, which I feel maybe is worthy for us to analyze and to discuss in lieu of this idea of akhlaq, which is a very important facet in Islam. The first hadith is narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu an. This is recorded by Imam al-Tirmidhi and other scholars. Abu Hurairah says, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن أكمل المؤمنين إيمانا أحسنهم خلقا وخياركم خياركم لنسائهم. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says in this hadith, going to be judged only according to your salah or your zakah, but your iman will be judged by Allah Ta'ala according to the character that you display, your akhlaq. Because the salah and the zakah and the hajj and all of that, any case, it is there actually to bring you in line to have a character that is sound, a character that is in line with the role model of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is actually the function of the salah and the siyam and the zakah anyway. This to bring you back to that human level where you are able to interact with human beings in an acceptable fashion. Interestingly, about this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that the most complete of you in iman are those who have the best of character. Then immediately after that he says, and the best of you are those who are the best towards their wives. Is one of the shortcomings that very often we are tested with. We may have good akhlaq and good character with everyone else out there in the dunya, but when it comes to our own families, we don't show that same kind of character. Actually, this hadith is saying, the first point of departure as far as your character is concerned is to have good character with the nearest one to you, which is your wife, your children, your household. That is where you are going to be tested firstly to see whether your akhlaq is on standard in the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desires from you. And if you look at the life of our Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the best of exemplars for us. We don't need to look anywhere else for somebody to emulate or to follow. Rather, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sufficient for us. If we just look quickly at what was his relationship like with his own wives and with his children and with his family, we'll find beautiful reports given to us by his family firsthand how the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to interact with him. In one hadith, Sayyidina Aisha was asked, what is the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam like in his household? How does he, you know, react and what is his demeanor like? And she says, كَانَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَلْيَنَ النَّاسِ وَكَانَ بَسَّامًا ضَحَّاكًا. Beautiful description. She says, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his home was the most softest of people. He had the most softest of nature. And he was somebody that was continuously smiling and laughing with his family. Isn't this a wonderful thing to observe? That although the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was the best of Allah's creation, he was the one that was the pious, the most pious. No one was more pious than him. He was the one that would spend his entire night almost in ibadah. But yet when it came to his own family, he had time to sit with him and to laugh with him and to jest with him and to give them a good smile, etc. Because this is what Islam dictates. This is what Islam teaches us. It seems, I've seen quite a bit of examples of this. When people become religious, right? They adopt a life now of more being in line with the Quran and the Hadith and what the Prophet ﷺ wants us to do. I find that very often people that change over like that, it seems from that point onwards, they don't smile any longer. They don't laugh any longer. They don't, you know, they don't have that demeanor of compassion or easiness or lean. As Sayyidina Aisha says, أَلْيَنَ النَّاسِ. He was a very, you know, easygoing person. It seems almost like if you become religious, then you must become the most morbid person in the dunya. And actually, this is completely wrong. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's character was never like that. He used to smile. دائم البشر. Another Sahabi explained, he was always smiling with everybody. And so, religious. When a person becomes religious, it does not mean that you become mean in your character or you become harsh or you. Exactly the opposite. It is that rahmah in your heart now that you understand what Islam is all about, that rahmah should entail for you to become a beautiful character person with other people around you. And the first point of departure is your own home. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha had also explained that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to take races with her. Can you imagine this? Because she was much younger than him, right? He was much older than her. But sometimes he wanted to entertain her as well. He wanted to do things that she loved. So you take races with her. On the one occasion, he beat her. On another occasion, she beat him. And he used to jest with her, you know. He used to say to her the time that I, you know, when I beat you the first time, your weight was a bit down. But when you beat me, your weight was low. But what I'm trying to say is, look at how the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam interacted with her in a beautiful manner. One day the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took her, and there were people of Ethiopia, the Habashis. They were doing some cultural dancing or cultural activities. And mind you, this was done right in the masjid of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Al-Masjid Al-Nabawi. So these people were engaging in some cultural activities. And the Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam took Sayyidah Aisha to watch what they were doing. And she was standing beside him. And they were looking. And the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam kept on asking her, are you okay? Are you enjoying it? Do you want to go? Do you still want to stay? And she kept on saying, no, I'm enjoying it. Let me stay a little bit longer, etc., etc. And the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam entertained her because he knew she was much younger. And that was maybe something that was attractive to her that could make her relax a little bit and so on. And this was the character of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You know, I often think that I wonder on the day of Qiyamah, when we all appear in front of Allah Ta'ala, obviously we will be questioned on a number of things. And perhaps Allah Ta'ala will question us, obviously, about our families and our wives. And Allah will ask our wives about us and ask us about our wives. I wonder what kind of testimonies and, you know, what kind of reports will come up on that day. Allah save us all. I want to share with you just a quick incident again. It's a hadith that is found in the book of Imam al-Bukhari. And it's a beautiful hadith, which perhaps we must do a bit of research on. It revolves around a woman who was called Ummu Zara. Okay? Hadith is in Bukhari. So Ummu Zara, it's a hadith that explains that there were 11 women that came together, and they all agreed that they will sit, you know, in a circle, and they will all sort of confide in one another, and they will tell one another what their husbands are like. What kind of character do the husbands have? Right? So this is something which the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam shared with Sayyidah Aisha. So these 11 women, they were sitting, and some of them gave very good reports about their husbands, saying that the husband is very kind, he's very strong, and he looks after me well, he's very soft-natured. Others, on the other hand, did not have a very good report about their husbands. Right? Some of them said, my husband is such a harsh person that if he speaks, I don't... Some of them gave some bad reports about their husband. Until the 11th person was Ummu Zara, and the whole hadith revolves around her. She explains that she had a wonderful husband that looked after her and that cared for her, that gave her everything that she needed. So Abu Zara, the husband, was a very good person, essentially. But then what happened was, one day he went somewhere and his eyes fell onto another woman. And he fell in love with that woman. So what he did was, he divorced Ummu Zara and he married this other woman. So now the Prophet ﷺ is relating this incident. And the Nabi ﷺ then says to Sayyidah Aisha, listen to this last comment. Says to Sayyidah Aisha, you know, I will be to you the same way that Abu Zara was towards his wife. Because essentially he was a very good person. He did everything that was wonderful. The only problem was, when his eyes fell on someone else, he divorced his wife. So Sayyidah Aisha, she's told by the Prophet ﷺ, I will be to you the same way that Abu Zara was to his wife Ummu Zara. The only difference is, I will never divorce you. You will always be with me. And look at the reply of Sayyidah Aisha. When the Prophet said that to her, she said to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Wallahi anta afdalu min Abi Zara. O Prophet of Allah, you are far better than Abu Zara. Because don't compare yourself to him. Because the standard which you have of good character and good nature towards us as your wives and children is far greater than Abu Zara can ever reach. And this is what Allah Ta'ala says about the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the Quran. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. You are indeed on the most highest of character. You have the most exalted of character. This was the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The second hadith that speaks about akhlaq is a hadith narrated by Sayyidah Aisha herself. She says, "Sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam yaqul." I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, and she was speaking obviously about the issue of akhlaq. She says that the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had informed them that the one that will have the heaviest scale on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah will be the one who had the best akhlaq. It's got nothing to do with your salah and zakah. Yes, you have to do salah and zakah. But again, like I said earlier on, it has to filter down in your character. It has to filter down in how you interact with people. In other words, the rituals should not be separated from your lived experience as a Muslim. And I think this is often where we maybe falter. We are very good at doing our ibadah and reciting Quran, and we go for umrah many times. We make dhikrullah, which is all beautiful. It's wonderful. We have to do those things. But the problem is when there is a disconnection between our ibadah as ritual and our lives that we live as Muslims, the way that we interact with one another. And this is what essentially the hadith is saying. In fact, there's another hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had also said, "Inna ahabbakum ilayya wa aqrabakum minni majlisan yawm al-qiyamah ahasinukum akhlaqa." The one that is the most beloved to me and the one that will be the closest to me on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah will be the one that has the best of character. Notice again, the Nabi does not say the one that recited the most Quran, the one that went the most on Umrah, the one that went the most to Masjid to make Salah. Now, I'm not undermining those things. Those things are important in Islam. But the Prophet says here, the one that will be the closest to me on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah will be the ones that have the best of character. So that is essentially what Islam stands for. It stands for this idea of interacting with people with a good nature. Right? In fact, the completion of this hadith, which I just mentioned now, the Prophet ﷺ then continued to say, وَإِنَّ أَبْغَضَكُمْ إِلَيَّ. The most detested person for me is, وَأَبْعَدَكُمْ مِنِّي مَجْلِسًا. And the one that will be the furthest away from me on the day of Yawm al-Qiyamah, the Prophet ﷺ says, الثرثارون والمتشدقون والمتفيهقون. He gave three attributes of people that are not in a very good position on the day of judgment. They will be very far away and distant from the Prophet ﷺ. Three people, الثرثارون. It means somebody that speaks all the time out of turn. He speaks so much about others and looks at others and always interferes with others, etc. Number two, al-mutashaddiqoon, people that speak with a kind of, you know, demeaning fashion to others, speak down on other people. You know, we should never speak down on any person. Even if that person is your employee and you are the employer, that does not give you the right to speak down to that person. That does not mean to speak in a condescending way towards that person. No, we should speak with respect. That is mutashaddiq. Al-mutafayhiq. The Sahaba did not understand what this means. So they asked the Prophet ﷺ, what is Al-Mutafayyiq? We understand the first two terms, but we don't really know what is Al-Mutafayyiq. And the Prophet ﷺ said to them, Al-Mutakabbirun. Those people who have a degree of arrogance, a degree of pride, right? And this is something we should get rid of. We should never think we are better than others, or that we are more pious than others, or that we've reached a level that no one else can reach. The moment that we think like that, then we've already lost the plot. We should keep ourselves humble, and we should know that whatever we are doing of good, it's but a small, you know, attempt to do something which is in conformity with the deen. But we should never claim to ourselves any perfection, because we've got a long way to go. If we were to read the lives of the Sahaba and the Tabi'een and the great scholars, and we really compare what they did and what we did, there's no comparison. We cannot really compare to them. And I conclude with the final hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, on the authority of Abu Umama al-Bahili, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, ana za'imun bi baytin fi rabd al-jannah liman yatruku al-mira'a wa in kana muhiqqa. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, I will guarantee an abode on the outskirts of Jannah for somebody who leaves off argumentation. Even if he is correct in what he is saying, but he leaves off any confrontation and argumentation with others, I will guarantee that he will get an abode in the outskirts of Jannah. And this is something that we've all been afflicted with. It is very sad when you go on social media, for example, especially during this period, and you find the type of argumentations, the type of debates that are going on, and the type of very vulgar languages that is used, you know, between Muslims. For things that is unnecessary, things that perhaps we can agree to disagree about. And I find it very strange that most of those people that are making all the comments and that are saying this is right and that, as if each one had become a mufti, you know, each one had become a scholar in Islam. Each one speaks with a kind of authority that they feel that they've got all the right to say what they want to say. And they sometimes do it with utter disrespect, using vulgar language. I always say to the youth, you know, and to the young people, if ever you are confused in this world and you don't know which way to go, because there's so many opinions out there, there's so many people saying different things, you just need to use one measurement, one yardstick. And that is, look at a person's character. That's all that you need to look at. If you find that a person's character reminds you of the beautiful character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in his humility, in his good way that he speaks, in the way that he reacts to a problem, in the way that he addresses an issue, if you see within him the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then that is the person that you should align yourself with. And a person that does not remind you of that, a person that uses vulgar language, a person that has a very rude way of interacting with others, you should distance yourself from that person, because that person is not really the exemplar to follow in the etiquette of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the first part of the hadith says, I will guarantee on the outskirts of Jannah a place for that person who leaves off argumentation even if he is correct. And then the Nabi continues sallallahu alayhi wasallam, وَبَيْتٌ فِي وَسَطِ الْجَنَّةِ لِمَنْ تَرَكَ الْكَذِبَ وَإِنْ كَانَ مَازِحًا. And I will guarantee for a person a place in the middle of Jannah if he does not lie, he leaves off lying, even if it is in a state of jesting or making jokes. Because even if you are making jokes, you should tell the truth. Truth is essential. One cannot lie and spread lies and spread false rumors, etc. It is haram in Islam. And finally, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, وَبَيْتٌ فِي أَعْلَى الْجَنَّةِ. And I will guarantee for the person an abode in the highest part of Jannah. So who is this person? لِمَنْ حَسُنَ خُلُقُهُ. For the person who has got good character. He gets the highest part of Jannah. Not the middle, not the outskirts. The highest part, which is the part which is the closest to our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So in conclusion, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, what essentially the message is about today, that our Islam, the mission of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, was embedded within this idea of good character. This is what we need to live for. This is what we need to strive for. The way that we deal with one another, the way that we interact with our families, with our wives, with our neighbors, with our colleagues at work. In fact, the way that we live, the way that we are, that in itself should be the da'wah to Islam. We need not to say a word or say a, you know, a hadith or preach to someone. But if he looks at you, he should see a beauty that he himself would be interested to follow. And this is in fact how many people in the dunya had actually embraced Islam on the basis of what they saw what Islam was. The honesty that they saw that Muslims used to have, the great character that they used to have, this used to be the main attraction that people were drawn to Islam. And this is what we need to revive. We ask Allah Ta'ala to grant us tawfiq inshaAllah. Allah grant us understanding. Allah Ta'ala revive within ourselves the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, so that we can project the proper image of Islam the way that Allah Ta'ala had desired it for us. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن
محمد رسول الله. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة. حي على الصلاة. حي على الفلاح.
لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله.
حي على الفلاح. الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
لا إله إلا الله.
لا إله إلا الله سيدنا محمد. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وخليله، خير نبي أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره الكافرون. اللهم صلِّ وسلِّم وبارِك وأنعِم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين وعلى صحابته الغرِّ الميامين وعلى من اهتدى بهديه ودعا بدعوته إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فيا عباد الله، أوصيكم ونفسي المخطئة المذنبة بتقوى الله عز وجل، وأحثكم على طاعته، وأستفتح بالذي هو خير. قال تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. أيها الإخوة الأكارم، أمرنا الله سبحانه وتعالى أن نتوجه إلى أوامره وإلى أوامر رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم في كل لحظة من لحظات حياتنا، وبين لنا نتيجة ذلك، فقال عز من قائل: يا أيها الذين آمنوا استجيبوا لله وللرسول إذا دعاكم لما يحييكم. ونظيره قوله تعالى: من عمل صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فلنحيينه حياة طيبة. وأوضح رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الغاية الكبرى من بعثته، فقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: إنما بعثت لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق، وفي رواية: لأتمم صالح الأخلاق، وفي رواية: لأتمم حسن الأخلاق. وهذا إن دل على شيء فإنه يدل على عظمة مرتبة حسن الخلق في الإسلام. وهناك أحاديث كثيرة جدا تبين هذا الأمر، منها قول رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فيما أخرجه الإمام الترمذي رحمه الله تعالى عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن أكمل المؤمنين إيماناً أحسنهم خلقاً. وفي حديث آخر قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن أحبكم إلي وأقربكم مني مجلساً يوم القيامة أحاسنكم أخلاقاً. نسأل الله تبارك وتعالى أن يخلقنا بأخلاق رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، وأن يجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم، فيا فوز المستغفرين ويا نجاة التائبين. أستغفر الله. الحمد لله حمداً كثيراً كما أمر، أشكره على نعمه وهو الذي وعد المزيد لمن شكر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إقرارا بربوبيته وإرغاما لمن جحد به وكفر. وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله النبي المعتبر. عباد الله، اتقوا الله فيما أمر وانتهوا عما نهى عنه وزجر، وأخرجوا حب الدنيا من قلوبكم فإنه إذا استولى عليكم أسر. واعلموا أنكم غدا بين يدي الله موقوفون، وعلى أعمالكم محاسبون، وعلى رب العزة ستعرضون، وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون. واعلموا أن الله تعالى أمركم بأمر عميم بدأ فيه بنفسه، وثنى بملائكة المسبحة بقدسه فقال: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وأنعم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد، كما صليت وسلمت وباركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين، إنك حميد مجيد. وارض اللهم عن الخلفاء الراشدين الأئمة الأربعة المهديين أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي، وعن سائر صحابة رسول الله أجمعين، وعن التابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم أذل الشرك والمشركين، اللهم دمر أعداءك أعداء الدين، واجعل هذا البلد آمناً مطمئناً سخاءً رخاءً وسائر بلاد المسلمين. اللهم آمنا في أوطاننا، اللهم أصلح ولاة أمورنا، اللهم أكرمنا ولا تهنا، اللهم زدنا ولا تنقصنا، اللهم آثرنا ولا تؤثر علينا، اللهم أرضنا وارض عنا يا رب العالمين. اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات، وألف بين قلوبهم، وأصلح ذات بينهم، واهدهم سبيل التقوى والرشاد يا رب العالمين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. عباد الله، رحمكم الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروا الله يذكركم، واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم، ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. أقيموا للصلاة، استووا إلى الصلاة يرحمكم الله. أقام الله ودامت السماوات وجعلنا من صالحي أهلها. لا إله إلا الله، سيدنا محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. استووا استقيموا، أثابني وأثابكم الله، استووا يرحمكم الله. الله أكبر، الله أكبر كبيرا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر، لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا. ولما رأى المؤمنون الأحزاب قالوا هذا ما وعدنا الله ورسوله وصدق الله ورسوله، وما زادهم إلا إيمانا وتسليما. من المؤمنين رجال صدقوا ما عاهدوا الله عليه فمنهم من قضى نحبه ومنهم من ينتظر وما بدلوا تبديلا ليجزي الله الصادقين بصدقهم ويعذب المنافقين أو يشاء ويعذب المنافقين إن شاء أو يتوب عليهم إن الله كان غفورا رحيما. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. وكذلك أوحينا إليك روحا من أمرنا ما كنت تدري ما الكتاب ولا الإيمان ولكن جعلناه نورا نهدي به من نشاء من عبادنا وإنك لتهدي إلى صراط مستقيم صراط الله الذي له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض ألا إلى الله تصير الأمور. الله أكبر. يا الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. اللهم صل. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. استغفر الله استغفر الله استغفر الله. اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام، تباركت يا ذا الجلال والإكرام، سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم.